Gemara tells a story that once the Chachamim were discussing an issue with the Tztukim. So Tztukim started to say some kind of a narishkeit. So the Chachamim responded, "Lotei Torah Shleim Shalom Kesicha B'Teir Shalachem." So you shouldn't even, it's a little bit of a denigration of the Torah to start to compare the foolishness, the apikorsis of the Tztukim to the Divrei Torah. But after Bichem, sometimes you have to answer. Sometimes you have to tell Mashal Tashma Bichem. Sometimes you have to answer the Tztukim also. So here we're not talking about something that the Tztukim said, but there was once some Dvarim B'Teilim that was once a lot of Dvarim B'Teilim over the years. There was once one Dvarim B'Teilim that was once presented. So we don't necessarily have to waste that time responding to Dvarim B'Teilim, but it does make for an interesting Shia. So we'll be able to elaborate on some of the alumnus to respond to Dvarim B'Teilim. Dvarim B'Teilim was apparently, it happened several years ago, somebody told me that we're trying to rekindle it again. There was a lawsuit that was going to be brought by an Egyptian court that they were going to sue the state of Israel. What are they going to sue the state of Israel for? For all the money of the Rechush Gadol of Parsha Shmos. Because it says in the Chumash, and it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell everybody to take the Kesef Azov, and then in Parsha Shmos, they're going to take all the Kesef Azov. So they wanted to sue Klal Yisrael to return all the money that they had stolen from ancient Egypt thousands of years ago. That was the lawsuit that was suggested. So the way the story goes, somebody told me that they dropped the lawsuit because the Arabs used to like the taina that what are the Jews doing here in Eretz Yisrael? They have no shaykhus to Eretz Yisrael. So if you can say that we're the same Jews as the Bnei Yisrael who came to Eretz Yisrael, that undermines their whole taina. So somebody told me they should drop the lawsuit. Good, so that was the Dvarim B'Teilim part of the story. But then you have to start to think for a minute. So wait a second, hold on, not so simple. What right do we have? The Baruch Hashem told us, but what right do we have in Dinim Mavanus to take the Rechush Gadol? So Lechora, the answer is that in pure Dinim Mavanus, it's Magil out of the Rechush Gadol. Because if they're going to sue us for the Rechush Gadol, we should sue them for 210 years of slave labor. That's a lot of Schiris Poyabim that they owe us. So it's probably going to be a wash. So the question is, well, maybe not so simple. Because maybe if they were really smart, so they would say as follows. They would say, no, that you still owe us the Rechush Gadol because you're not entitled to the money. You can't be Motzi Mammon from us. Because the pasuk says, "V'gamis agoyah she'avaydu dana noichi, v'achrechein yitzu b'chush gadol." So Kadosh Baruch Hu punished the mitzvah. They were punished with an einish aguf. So we know there's a sugya called kimle b'drabine. When a person does something that carries with it two onshim, one is an einish aguf, and one is a chiyav mamon. So you get the einish aguf, and you potter from the chiyav mamon. So if the mitzvah are really, really smart, they're real lamdanim, what they should have tied it is that you're not. We don't have to pay you the rechush gadol because we're already nenshu with the kimle b'drabine. So that's going to be the topic of tonight's show. So we're going to try to talk a little bit about does kimle b'drabine make any sense at all in the context of what we're talking about. A person gets an einish aguf from the Ribbono Shel Olam, gamas agoy she'avad dan anochi, and then we turn around at the same time and we say to them, not only do you have an einish aguf, we're going to take away your money also, we're going to make you pay your schaifas, your schiris pilum for 210 years. So is that subject to kimle b'drabine, or that has absolutely nothing under the sun to do with kimle b'drabine? So let's see if we can learn the sugya together and see what the real part, the first part was the joke, but now the real part of Torah, in terms of, is this even in the ballpark of kimle b'drabine or not? So, yeah. I mean, it's part of it appears in the Gemara, but the Egyptians really put it into court system. Yeah. So let's try to see, does Kimle B'drabine make any sense in this context or not? So at first glance, this whole sugya to even raise the question of Kimle B'drabine is actually a machlekes hatanoim. There's a famous machlekes hatanoim that appears in the third pack of Maseches Ksubis, several other places also, where the Kimle B'drabine makes sense only in onshin shel beis and shel mata, or whether it even applies in onshin of Beis Din Shemala as well. So the classic Kimle B'drabine applies to Mises Beis Din. Mishnah says a person burns down somebody's house on Shabbos, so he's chayav skila, Mises Beis Din, and he's chayav mamon for being mazik. So that's what the Mishnah says. That's a classic Kimle B'drabine. What if a person burns somebody's house on Yom Kippur? So Yom Kippur doesn't carry with an einish of Mises Beis Din. It's only an einish of kares. So should you say kimle b'drabine on einishes shemayim as well? So that was a machlokes between Rabbi Nachunya ben Akona and the Rabbanon. So Rabbi Nachunya ben Akona says that we derive based on psukim drashas that the din of kimle b'drabine, once you put, when you have a Mises Beis Din shalmata, so that covers the chi of mamon. So Rabbi Nachunya ben Akona says it doesn't matter whether it's Beis Din shalmata, Beis Din shalmal, it's all the same. Kares potters as well. So hi, Rabbi Nachunya ben Akona also says kipurim kishabes lifto mitashlumin. And everybody else disagreed. So according to everybody else, then the Shah is also a mood shayla. What's that kibbutz b'drabine? The gamas agoy she'avad dan anoichim is all misa b'di shemayim. It was all a Kadosh Baruch Hu judging. So whenever a Kadosh Baruch Hu punished somebody, so the whole sugya of kibbutz b'drabine Friday doesn't begin. So this whole shiur is not a libud derabbanan. The whole shiur is only according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Akana. Nobody should have chalish zedas because there's a whole sugya in the first berach of third berach of Ksubis, all a libud Rabbi Yochanan ben Akana. The Gemara spends its two blocks trying to figure out what Rabbi Yochanan ben Akana would say about it. We learned Ksubis last year in Yeshiva. It took us about 3 months to go through that sugya. So there's so much Torah, so much lomdos, all within the worldview of Rabbi Yochanan ben Akana. So again, according to the Rabbanan, there's always kibbutz v'dramanik because it's a beis and shemala. The Orachayim Akkadosh writes in Chumash and Parshas Vayishlach that he thinks that the din of kibbutz v'dramanik doesn't apply to goyim. The din of kibbutz v'dramanik is a chiddush by Yisrael. It's learned out from Psukim and Parshas Mishpatim from the Vlodos. There's nothing to do with goyim. So why is the Orachayim talking about this in Parshas Vayishlach? So he's talking about the mice of Shechem. When Shimon and Levi go and they kill off the Anshe Yeshchem, so the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim that the Anshe Yeshchem were all chayav Mises Beizin. The Rambam Shita was that they were all in violation of Dinim, because the Rambam holds that the seventh of the mitzvahs of the Sheva mitzvah of Bnei Noach is to set up a court system, and if people are negligent in that, they don't fulfill their mitzvah, so then they're considered to be chayav Mises themselves. That's a violation of the Sheva mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. So the Rambam writes in Sefer Malachim, he thinks that all the Anshe Yeshchem, there was a gain of nefesh in the midst. There was a person who stole, kidnaps Dina, and ain't bites of bum, it's if nobody judges, nobody takes care of it, nobody brings him to justice. So the Rambam writes, you all chayav misa for that. That's a violation of the mitzvah of the Shabbat Bnei Noach of Dinan. So the Ramban is the famous dispute with that Rambam. The Ramban of the Perish Al HaTorah, Parshat Vayishlach, holds that that's what Dinan is altogether, and you wouldn't be chayav misa Beis Din for that. But the Rambam writes that that was a real chi of Mrs. Beis Din. And so then the Yerachayim discusses, so how did they go ahead and take the money? So we assume they went ahead and they took the money. That was like a Dmei Boshes. So if a person's Ma'anis a girl, so they have to pay Dmei Boshes. So the Yerachayim raised the question, what happened to Kimim Dramine? If they really truly Chayav Mrs. Beis Din, why the Chayav to pay Boshes? So the Yerachayim writes, because he thinks that Kimim Dramine was a Chiddush by Yisrael, it doesn't apply to Bnei Noach, and therefore it's not a Kasha. So according to that Yerachayim, also the Shir is a Mut Shaila. The Shir is becoming, you said 40 minutes, so for the first 5 minutes I knocked out most of the Shir. So there's no Kimim Dramine where we pass in halacha because it's a misa b'dei shemayim, it's not a misa based in shemata. And according to the Yerachayim, there's no kibbutz v'dramanei because it's goyim. But we don't want to go down either of those two roots. We want to go with the regular rules of kibbutz v'dramanei and try to show why kibbutz v'dramanei wouldn't apply here. So our part of the sugya really begins with a very cryptic statement of Chazal. It appears in Perek Meruba, Zulun Meruba. It's actually the second time in one night we're going to quote a sugya from Esther and Zoyna. So in the first year we spoke with Esther and Zoyna, Lagabi Shina Koyna. Now we're going to talk about it, Lagabi Kibbutz V'Dramanei. The Gemara has a very famous yet cryptic comment about Kibbutz V'Dramanei. The Gemara says that Esther and Asra Torah Afilu Baal Imo. That let's say a person is a real manuvel and he enters into an agreement with his mother. He's going to be Mazana, he's going to give her an animal for Esnana. And he goes out and he violates the Issa Mises Beis Din, his Baal Imo. So the din is, if he goes ahead and he gives his mother that Esnan, that animal, that Esnan becomes Pasul and Mizbech. How do you know that? Because it doesn't say otherwise. The Chumash says, Esnan Asra Torah, Afilu Baal Imo. So comes the Gemara and says, how could that be? How could that be an Esnan Zayna? If a person just gives a gift to a Zayna, that's not called an Esnan Zayna. An Esnan Zayna means that he becomes Chayav in Halacha, in Dinim Mamanis. He has to give it to her. He has to give it to her. Torah Schirus for what she's doing for him. So then and only then is it Chawad and a Psul of Esnan Zayna. So comes the Gemara and raises the question, well, isn't that a Kimur B'Draminei? The person is Mizana with his mother, so he's Chayav Mises Beis Din for Gili Arayas. At the same moment that he's Chayav Mises Beis Din, he becomes Chayav to pay her Tashlumen for the Schirus Poyam, for agreed to pay her for her. For the Maisus Nus. So Gemara says, wait a second, it's the Kimav Draminei. If it's Kimav Draminei, then he's not really chayef to give her the money. He's not really chayef to give her the animal. He goes there and gives it to her as a matonim. That's not an Esten Zoyna. So the Gemara says, why is that Taka Esten Zoyna? So it's unclear what the answer to that Gemara is. The Machlokes is showing him what the answer is. The Gemara raises the problem, raises the dilemma. Why is it? Everybody agrees that's the din. Esten Asatar Filu Balimai. But it's unclear why is that not subject to the din of Kimav Draminei. So the Meiri on that Gemara quotes from a Rishonim who say that the answer is as follows, that there are two different types of chiyuvei tashlumen in the Torah. There are some types of chiyuvei tashlumen that the Torah superimposes upon you, and there are other kinds of chiyuvei tashlumen that you bring upon yourself. So if I'm mazik somebody, I wasn't a kabbal to pay, I did a maisa hezek. So the Torah says, if you're mazik, a ploni, you have to pay to Ploni. So the Torah superimposes that chiyuv on you. But let's say I agree to a deal with you. I buy $100 from you and I agree to pay you back the money. I buy a car from you and I agree to pay you the money. I hire you to do work for me and I agree to pay you the money. Those are what we call in halacha, his chayvus midas. So his chayvus midas is a different type of a chalashem. It's a different type of a didi mominis. So says the Meiri in the name of a group of Rishaynim, that b'medvam amurim, there's a din of Kim Levi Dramine, that's when the Torah superimposes a chiyuv. That was the original case of Kim Levi Dramine and the Chumash. A person is trying to kill somebody that he ends up causing the pregnant woman to miscarry. So the Torah says, if he's chayav Mrs. Bezin, if he mamish kills somebody, he's chayav Mrs. Bezin. So we're not going to superimpose this chiyuv called to make vladis, to make him pay for the fetuses. But if he didn't kill somebody, nobody died, nobody's chayav Mrs. Bezin, then you have to pay to make vladis. So the model of Kim Levi Dramine is a chayav Satoyrin. That's a chiyuv of mazik paying to make vladis. So Kim Levi Dramine only makes sense when you're dealing with a chayav Satoyra. It doesn't make sense when you talk about a chayav Midas. A schivus polim, the Meiri is assuming, is a schivus midas. I agreed. I'm going to pay $100 to paint my house. That's called a schivus midas. So when the person, this guy, this maneuver guy, it makes a tenai with his mother, he's going to pay her for this nus. That's a schivus midas. That's a din for schivus polim. So schivus polim is not shaykh in a parish of Kilma Bidramine. So according to that Meiri, if that's what the Gemara meant by Esodos Atarefil Balimai, that schivus polim is mufka from the din of Kilma Bidramine, then obviously it wouldn't be relevant here in terms of Schiris Polim of Mitzrayim. So even without the Rabbanan, the Rebbe Chunim Ben Akana, even without the Rechayim HaKadosh, just based on this theory alone, that a Schiris Midas, called Schiris Polim, wouldn't be even the parish of Kilim Ramine. But most of the Rishonim didn't hold it to Smiri. Most of the Rishonim learned Pshan the Gemara of Bavakama, that you can potentially have a Kim Levi Dramine even on his Chayvus Midas. So what's Pshat in the Gemara of Eser Nosser Torah? So most of the Rishonim give a totally different beer in that Gemara. Both Rashi and Tosfos present a different story there. Rashi and Tosfos write that the din of Kim Levi Dramine is just a ptur in Beis Din Shalmata. That means that, let's say, if I burn down your house on Shabbos, so you can't take me to a din Torah. You could try to take me to a din Torah, but the Beis Din is going to have to pull out of the case. Once Beis Din gives me Chia Mrs. Beis Din, they no longer have a shlita. They no longer have jurisdiction. They don't have the authority to make me pay the money. But what about Klapei Shemaya? Am I supposed to pay the money? Is the right thing for me to do to pay the money? Am I Chayv Adin Shemayim? Avada B'Chayv Adin Shemayim, Rashi and Tosfos says. So once I'm Chayv Adin Shemayim, that now affects Hilchas Esnan. Because when is something called an Esnan, when is not called an Esnan? So if it's given just as a matana bi'alma to the Zayna, it's Nishken Esnan, giving her a gift, that's not Chal Hashem Esnan. It's only called Hashem Esnan when there's a chiyuv to pay. So what's considered to be a chiyuv to pay? So there are different types of chiyuv in Mominus. There's a chiyuv in Bezen Shamata, and there's a chiyuv in Bezen Shamala. Once there's chal on it a chiyuv, once it's chal on it an obligation, even though the level of obligation is only an obligation of Beis and Shemala, but that's considered to be a mechuyav, and once a mechuyav to pay, so then we could label it, we could convey in halacha the tashlum that I'm giving her is b'taras esnan. Once it's b'taras esnan, then tacha becomes also to bring as a korban. So esnan as a tarafil ba'al limoy is not because Kim Levi Dramine doesn't apply. Of course, Kim Levi Dramine applies, Rashi Tosfos says. Kim Levi Dramine applies equally to his chayvus HaTorahs as well as to his chayvus Midasas. There's no difference at all. What the Gemara means is that since I'm not really potter from paying, Kim Levi Dramine is not an absolute ptur. Kim Levi Dramine just says they don't have to pay in Beis and Shamata, but I'm still a mechuyav bedover in Beis and Shamala, so that's enough to be keveya. This is called the Tashlumei Esnan, and the Din Esnan Zayin is going to be chal. That's a Rashi and Tosfos touch up this sugya. So Tosfos has a big, big problem with this because there is a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin that doesn't seem to sound this way. The Gemara has a sugya in the eighth parakh of Maseches Sanhedrin about a very unique type of a Kim Levi Dramine. Normally, Kim Levi Dramine means that a person says chayv for Chil Shabbos, is chayv for Tzicha, chayv for Dezor, is chayv for some real act that he gets a chiyah Mises Beis Din. So then the Mises Beis Din is potter him. There's a watered down form of Kim Levi Dramine that's called the parasha of Reidef. Let's say a person is running after somebody to try to kill them, or a person is above machteris, that they're digging in somebody's house in the middle of the night, so there's a status like a reidev. So the halacha is that anyone who's coming is a reidev, so it's nitan, it's dinat ben afshay. That if Reuven's running after Shimon, trying to kill Shimon, so anyone has a right to take Reuven out. Not only can the Nirdov turn around and take out Reuven, but anybody has a right, an obligation, to save Shimon. If it's Efshel Atzilu B'Echad Meivar, if they're able to save Shimon without killing Reuven, just by knocking him out, so they're supposed to do that. But if it's Efshel, they can't pull that off, so then it's Mamish, he's Nidon Ben Afshay. So the Gemara is a Chiddush in Masechah Sanhedrin, the Mishnah says, that that's also considered to be like a Kim Levi Dramine, that Reuven, the Reidev, is almost like his Chayav Misa. It's not really Chayav, it's not the same thing. Retzeach, who succeeded as Mamash Chayav Misa, and even if you find him 20 years later, you have to kill him. A Reidef is only quote-unquote Chayav Misa B'Shas Redifa, but for those couple of minutes that he's being Reidef, he's labeled in Halacha as being a Chayav Misa's Beijin, and the dinim of Kimei B'Dramine are going to apply. It's not a very big Chiddush. The Gemara never explains how we figured this out, but it's a very big Chiddush in Chazal, because if it would have asked me, I would have said, the fact that you're allowed to kill the Reidef, that has nothing to do with an Einish Misa's Beis Din. That has nothing to do with an Einish altogether. That's the dinim Tam Hatzolas HaNirdaf. The whole goal is to save the innocent potential victim. So you see from the Gemara that it's more to it than that. You see from the Gemara that the din of Reidef is not just Mitam the Nirdaf, but it's also Mitam the Reidef. That the Reidef is a Rosh, the Reidef is a Mechuyev Misa. It's a different kind of Chiyev Misa. Chiyev Misa's Beis Din lasts forever and ever and ever. Beis Din kill him, there's no statute of limitations in Allah. You can kill him 50 years later. But the din of Reidef is a Chiyev Misa's Beis Din, not Beis Din Mamash, but it's Mechuyev Misa, Klape, anyone who can do it. For those couple of minutes, that he's still in the status of being a Reidef.
But you see, that's hard to say when we also say that if you could sound Mechat Beimar, then you should do this. If he truly gets considered, even for the Zman, to be a Chiyev Misa, then he should have to go for
right. Right. Unless you want to tie it in, that's Epsha, very razzle dazzle Psha, it's Epsha, Tilly Bech Meivara, maybe he's not a full fledged Reidef. You know, so you have to tie shut that lumbus. But it's a big Chiddush to say this, but it's clear from Chazal. It's even more clear from Chazal. Chazal have a statement in the 8th Perek of Masech Zanen. It seems to be a very strange Gemara. The Gemara says that. Let's go to another safer, yeah? Then we can talk even the dark. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that I need a special pasuk to tell me that I can kill a Bav Machteris even if he's Bav Machteris on Shabbos. I would add a Havamina that if a guy is above Machteris on Shabbos, so he's not, you don't put him to death on Shabbos. Why would I call such a wild Havamina? So the Gemara says, well, midi the Havi Haruge Beis Din. I would have thought just as the Dinul Savar Eish Becham HaShveseichem, you don't give an Einish Mrs. Beis Din on Shabbos, so you can't kill the Bav Machteris on Shabbos either. So Kamash Malon, that's not true. Kamash Malon exerts a cost of, there's a different type of an Einish. So what kind of wild Havamina was that? So it's an Einish. So you see from Chazal, yeah, there's an element, there's an aspect of Einish here as well. So the Gemara quotes a Machlokes. What's the deal? Let's say if a person is above Machteres, at the time that he's been above Machteres, he happens to break something along the way. He breaks somebody's barrel while he's been above Machteres. So the Gemara says now somebody wants to take him to a din Torah later to pay for the broken barrel, so he doesn't have to pay because he can turn around and he can say that, no, I was above Machteres, I chai Mrs. Beis Din. It's like I burnt your house on Shabbos, so can we raminate? I don't have to pay for your barrel. So the Gemara says, that's it. It's the Bishop says, Beferish, Bob Machteres, Vishibra Sakelim, there's no din of paying because it's Kim Levid Ramine. So the Gemara says, Machloikes, what's the din if a person is Bob Machteres and he doesn't break the barrel, he just takes the barrel. As he's digging into the house, he sees there's a nice barrel of wine, he takes the barrel also. And now the barrel is still intact. And now he's caught by Beis Din an hour later. Can Beis Din make him return the barrel or not? So one day the Gemara says, no, they can't make him give the barrel back. It's the Chabav Machteres. So at the time that he took the barrel, so he was Nischayev Misa Klafei, the din of Reidef. So Kimud Ramine kicks in and is pulled him from returning the barrel. And the other day the Gemara says, no, that's not called Tashlumin. Kimud Ramine is a Ptura from Tashlumin. That means to make the person pay money out of his own pocket. That's the Ptura of Kimud Ramine. Here, but just making him return the barrel, that's not his anyway. So that's not called a Tashlumin. That's just called returning somebody else's money. What's anyway the other person's money? So that's a machlekes in the Gemara. Machlekes Rabin, Rab, whole Shakmatan in the Gemara with Kilo and Ramin, they cover such a case. So the Gemara tells a story that once it happened, that there was a guy who was above Machteres and he stole a barrel, made the sugar come to life, and he stole the barrel and he was finally caught. And the psach was that we paskin like the opinion that the barrel is still intact, so we taka has to return the barrel. We hold there's no din of Kilo and Ramin in that. The Gemara says that the victim of this crime was Rava. Someone broke into the Rashiva's house, they stole his wine, and then they were caught. So the Beis Din made him give the barrel back. So Rava didn't want to take the barrel back, right? Because Rava, even though Rava personally held that there's no din of Kibbutz Ramine, he was chayshish for the other day. He was nervous that maybe the other day was right. Maybe Rava was correct that there would be a din of Kibbutz Ramine. And this, that he didn't want to take the money back in deference to the sheet that we don't pass him. That's Ad Kan Tevi HaGemara. So Taisa just the kashya. Taisa says, if the din is that he's chayv let's say stay shemayim anyway, so the guy's giving it back. Whether he's giving it back with Torah's Beis Din Shamata, Beis Din Shamala, even the Fishitas Rav, even according to those who hold that there would be a din of Kibbutz Ramine, he's still Chayav, it's no worse than Esten Bal Alim, it's no worse than Chayav Deis Dei Shemayim. So what was Rav hesitating for? Why didn't Rav want to take the barrel back? Let him take the barrel back. The guy's anyway Chayav Deis Dei Shemayim. So Tais gives a razzle-dazzle test. Tais says, no, that's not true. Tais says that if the guy, when he gave it back, would have been willing to give it back to Torah to taste the Shemayim, then Rava would have accepted it. But the guy was saying, I don't want to give it back. I'm not so frum. I don't want to be Yetzir Shemayim. I'm only giving it back because I have to, because Beis Din says I'm Chayev. So he was only, he wasn't giving it back al das la taste the Shemayim. He was giving it back la das to be Yetzir Beis Din Shemata, which Rava was Chayshesh, maybe Taka wasn't Chayev in. So therefore Rava didn't want to take it back because there was a Chashash of a Gezela. For Rava to take it back from a person who wasn't really Chayev in Beis Din Shemata, the guy was giving it back on false pretenses. Rava didn't want to be Nana for that barrel. So Ad Kan Divya Tais. So you see how Tais had a bend over backwards. Because Tosfos learned that pshat in Esen Asher Torah that meant as a chiyuv letzeis deshimayim, Tosfos got into a pickle with his gemara and said, "There had to be a whole razzle dazzle shir klali to explain why this was not a fulfillment of the letzeis deshimayim because that wasn't what the person's kavanah was." So Rashi in Maseches Bav Metzia, when this sugi also appears in Esen Asher Torah, so Rashi adds on one nekuda that doesn't appear in Tosfos. In one place Rashi says it, one place Rashi doesn't. But in Bav Metzia Rashi says it. That when we say that Esther is a Torah filu balimoy, that Yechayev letzeis deshemayim, so Rashi writes that tfisa is going to work. That normally, if I own something, someone is tayfes that object, so that's called gezela. But if they have a certain right to that object, even though Beis Din's hands are tied, so it could be that tfisa is going to work. They have a right up yalacha to grab that object, and now we can't take it away from them. So Rashi writes that anytime you have a din of kimav dramine, say if I burn down your house on Shabbos, so Beis Din's not going to make me pay for the house, but if you're smart and you go into my house and you grab $1,000 worth of my property, connected in lieu of that house that I burnt down, you have a right to do that, says Rashi. Because whenever there's a chiyav, let's say it's neshemayim, so tfisa is going to be acceptable. So comes the Ktzois and says, based on this Rashi, that kimav dramine is not just a chiyav letzeis deshemayim, it's more to it than that. It's even a din of tfisa. So now we have to go back to that Gemara in Sanhedrin and realize that Tosfos teretz is not going to help. Tosfos said that Tosfos never heard of tfisa. Tosfos wasn't dealing with the world of tfisa. Tosfos is working with chiyav letzeis deshemayim versus chiyav and Beis Din. So Tosfos said, if there's really true what we said, there's a chiyav letzeis deshemayim, so when the guy comes and presents the barrel, even though he's not technically chayv in Beis Din Shamata, according to that sheet that we don't paskin like, let Rava at least accept it als Beis Din Shamala. So Tosfos said, no, Rava didn't want to take it because it was a false pretense. But if you hold like Rashi, that tfisa works. So if tfisa works, so tfisa means it's already there. I already have it. So he already handed it to me. So once I already hold it onto it, how could that be worse than tfisa? If madach tfisa works, the guy screaming and yelling, he says he doesn't want to give it all together, and still tfisa is going to work. So kavachayim, if the guy gave it without the proper das, what's the difference? According to Tosfos, who never heard of tfisa, it's just a question of it says deshimayim or not, but you need the das of the no saying. So then Tosfos understands that if the das of the no saying is not present, then you have no right to hold on to it. But according to Rashi, you don't need the das of the no saying. You don't need any das. You don't need the das of anybody. You can be Tosfos me. If you could be Tayfes and the other guy's yelling and screaming, that still works. So Kavachemir of the Nisan gives it with false pretenses. Of course that should be okay. So Hadukush Leduchta, what did Rava want? Why didn't Rava hold on? Rava could use the barrel, Mekiddush, he could use the barrel of wine. So why did he hand the barrel of wine back to the guy above Machteres? Typically that should be no worse than Tfis. That's the Ketosis Kasha. So to...
Again, only because I gave a Chabura on this.
Okay. You can still talk.
So himself says just at the end of, I forget the exact word, but he's the one, he says that it's, even when Tfisa works, you know, I think that's better, like there's a Zohar that says, I think there's one or two Zohars that's so close in the entire thing. I got a little huff of revs on that one. But he said it's better not to do tfisa. It's bad to do
tfisa. Okay, so the Arach Ranim who don't like tfisa, so that would be another answer to this question.
But the Ksos himself brings it down.
Not at this place.
No, it's at the end of
not here.
Something. Right.
Okay, over here. Somewhere. Okay, now that's a good marmach. Okay, but this Ksos, which is in the middle of somewhere else, so this Ksos doesn't say it. This Ksos presents the cash and says, how come getting something on the false pretense of the nice and how in the world could that be worse than tfisa? So the Ktzos goes back to the drawing board and he says, let's go back to this idea of Esen Asher Torah Filu Balima, which started the whole ball rolling, which got us to believe that let's say Teshemayim is Chayev, which Rashi said the corollary meant that tfisa is going to work. Is that really true? Is every time you have a kimav dramine, there's always a chiyuv letzeis deshemayim, and the corollary of that is that there's always tfisa, or maybe there are different types of kimav dramine. Maybe not all kimav dramines are created equal. So the Ktzos quotes Yamsho Shlomo, quotes a Maharshal, who says, what the Ktzai says, is that it's a Sisrei Torah, but he's going to try to explain what the Sisrei Torah is, but we're going to try to elaborate a little bit what it is. The Maharshal says that there are different types of Kibbutz Midramanan. And I don't need the Maharshal for that. The Gemara is beferish that there are different kinds, but that they're fundamentally different in the following way. The Maharshal says that if you look at the Gemara Maseches Ksubis, so you'll notice in the third page of Ksubis, that there are different kinds of Kibbutz Midramanan. Sometimes Kibbutz Midramanan appears where Beis Din Mamish puts the guy to death. The guy burnt the house down on Shabbos, with Edom and Asura, Beis Din caught him, and the Mamish give him a Chiyah Mises Beis Din. That's one kind of Kibbutz Midramanan. Then there's another kind of Kibbutz Midramanan we call Chayvei Mises Shegigin. That means nobody put anyone to death, nobody was ever caught, there was no Hasra, it's Bismanas, there was no Beis Din, there's no Din Nefashis. The guy never really was killed in Beis Din, but in theory it could have been that he was killed in Beis Din. So that's also called Kibbutz Midramanan. So the Gemara has a big Chiddush. The Gemara needs Psukim to show that. The Pasuk in Chumash of Dmei Vladas is not talking about that. So the Gemara needed a different series of Pesukim to indicate that's also called Kibbutz Midramanan. So there are two kinds of Kibbutz Midramanan. There's one case where your mamish killed a person, then there's another kind of Kibbutz Midramanan where the person is not actually going to be killed. So my nafka mida between the two. So the Maharshal says the difference is going to play out in terms of the Chiyuv Atzeis Dei Shemayim. When are we going to say the person is Chiyuv Atzeis Dei Shemayim? So says the Maharshal, you're only Chiyuv Atzeis Dei Shemayim if you don't actually get put to death. If your mom is killed, then there's no Chiyuv Atzeis Dei Shemayim altogether. So now, whenever there is a Chiyuv Atzeis Dei Shemayim, Rashi says that translates it to Tfisa being valid. When there is no Chiyuv Atzeis Dei Shemayim, then obviously Tfisa is meaningless. So if you put this whole package together, says the Ktzais, what comes out is as follows. The only time Yechayv Atzeis Dei Shemayim, which i.e. means the only time Tfisa is going to be effective, that's only if you weren't yet killed. But if you were mamish killed, if you were literally killed, so then forget it. Then there's no Chiyuv Atzeis Dei Shemayim, then there's no Din Tfisa, then nothing, the whole story doesn't work. So says the Ktzais, this case above Machteres, which kind of Kibbutz Midramanan was this? Was this a Kibbutz Midramanan that the guy was killed? Was this a Kibbutz Midramanan that the guy wasn't killed? So if you ask me, I'd say, he wasn't killed. The guy's still walking around an hour later. He wasn't killed. So the answer is no. Says the Ktzais, he was killed. Why was he killed? Apidini was killed. Because being killed doesn't mean his mamish dying. It's not an issue about brain death. It doesn't mean whether your heart stopped, or you stopped breathing. That's not called killed. If Beis Din was going medino on you, if there was a gemar din that you are mechuyev misa Beis Din, that's called the gavra ketila. So it says the Ktzais, whenever you have a bab machteres, whenever you have a reidev, that's the halakha equivalent of a gavra ketila. Because it was mamish nitan to be killed. Anyone could have taken you out. What does it mean, chayv misa shaygin? Chayv misa shaygin means that a person burnt down the house without hasra, without the right edim, it's bismanazer, there's no bezin, there's no din nefashas. So it was never a gemar din. So whenever you never had a gemar din, that's the lower form of kibbutz midramanan. Whenever there's a gemar din, whether lamaisi you ended up getting killed or not, that's totally irrelevant. What really matters was there a psak against you that you become a gavra ketila. So every bab machteres is automatically the highest form of kibbutz midramanan. It's an example of the fellow who was literally put to death. So comes the Ktzais and says, based on this Maharshal, when you have the Kibbutz Midramanan of the highest form, when the person is mamish chayev, literally chayev nisas Beis Din, so then b'chi hagavna, we're not going to say chayev l'tzeis de shemayim. And then the corollary of that is, we're not going to say that tfis is going to be effective. So the Ktzai says he thinks based on that Maharshal, so the Rashi is good, and the Tais is even better. You don't even need Taisus Teretz. The answer is Pasha, that the Kibbutz Midramanan above Machteres is a higher form of Kibbutz Midramanan. You wouldn't say Chayv Atzeis Dei Shemayim. When do you say Chayv Atzeis Dei Shemayim? That's by an Estan Zayna, that's by cases where nobody's really caught, nobody's really Chayv, nobody actually gets killed, and no one really gets killed. So that's a lower level Kibbutz Midramanan. Then you still Chayv Atzeis Dei Shemayim, then Tfis is going to work. But the highest level, when you're either literally killed, or at least you're in this Chayv Dino to be killed, so then B'chiyah Gavna, there wouldn't be any Ptua Kibbutz Midramanan. There wouldn't be any Chiyuv Atzeis Dei Shemayim. My high, Sisrei Torah. What's the difference between the two? Conceptually, what's the difference? So the Chayra, this is a throwback to a fundamental question about how does Kibbutz Midramanan work in the first place? So Yesh Lachbar, what's the nature of Kibbutz Midramanan? The strange did, the Torah says that a person burns down somebody's house, so not only the Chayv Mises Beis Din, the Potter to pay for the house. So Yesh Lachbar, what the nature of that Ptur is? So one can understand that Ptur one of two ways. Either one can understand that it's a point there. That's it. Kach nemer halacha. That the Torah says that doing X is patas you from tashlumin of being. I'm not chayav b'chlal. I'm not mischayav. The Torah declares I'm not mechuyav to pay the money. Finished. End of discussion. Is that the pshat? Or is pshat? No. that maybe the pshat is that yesh b'chol b'sayim mana. The Torah says you're getting such a heavy duty onesh, so it's almost the onesh akal is nichol the onesh achomer. It's considered a pidin that you paid the money. It's not pshat that you didn't pay the money. Not pshat the potter from paying the money, but the onesh achomer is koyel even the onesh akal. So what's the nature of the p'tur of kibud ramin? Is kibud ramin mean when the person's chayav is based in that's a poiter from paying money? So taka, there was no chiyav, there was nothing paid at all. Was kibud ramin a koyel that the chiyav misses based in is koyel the weaker the lower level of chiyuv, the level of tashlumin. So this is a famous statement of the Ramban at the beginning of Maseches Makos. So the context of the Ramban is as follows. The famous Mishnah Makos says, two Edom come and say that this fellow's mother was Niskarsha, and then she married a Kohen, the kids of Ben Grusha Bechalutza, he came to avoid the Bishamik. This is the whole story. So the Mishnah says that when the Edom are caught to be Edom Zayimin, so you don't make them into Chalolim, special Gzeres HaKosov. What do you do to them? So you give them Malkos, because you can't do anything else to them. So by default, the Gemara learns out from Sukkim and Machas Tabez, when you can't do anything else to the Edom Zomen, they can't be punished, Kasher Zomam, so you give them a Malkos. Finish famous Sukkim and Daf Beis, Daf Beis, Daf Beis, Daf Beis, in Maseches Machas. So the Ramban asks the Kasha on that Mishnah. The Ramban says, what do you mean there's nothing to do to the Edom? I could think of other things to punish the Edom with. So true, we learned that from Sukkim, you can't make them Chalolim, because Lovlo Lazar, okay, there are technical details where you can't make them into Chalolim, but why don't you just make them pay? Why should they pay? Let them pay all the money that they cost this fellow. It means up until now, this guy was a Kohen. We thought it was a Kohen, and he's going to be collecting truma for the next 20 years. He's going to be eating a lot of truma. He's going to get pigeon of Ben. He's going to be making a killing. And now the two Edom come and say, he's an ois Kohen. He's not a Kohen anymore. So that's tantamount to be masim a lot of money. So maybe we should make a cheshbon, figure out how much money is magialo, and let the Edom pay that amount of money. So why does the Gemara throw its hands up and say, by default, there's nothing to give them? We can't make them halalim, there's no einish, so then the next best thing, we give them malchus. What do you give them malchus for? Make a thousand cents, make a cheshbon, how much money they will mafsir. So the Ramban starts quoting different terutzim. So he says, well, maybe that's called derech grama. Means Edom Zomim means, I come and I say, Reuven broke Shimon's window, and then I'm an Edom Zomim, I have to pay. But here, I said you're a cholol, so now, down the line, that's going to mean you may not get any truma anymore. So that's a very, very extended, that's very, very indirect. So maybe the chiyuv Edom Zomim doesn't apply derech grama. That's one answer. Then the Eidish Lahim, the Ramban says, maybe it's a midah de lo kitz. Means there's no amount to it. How are you going to make such a cheshbon? One year is going to get a lot of truma, the next year is going to be out of business. So there's no set amount. So maybe Edom Zomim is only nitan le'omer when we can give you an exact thousand cents. Make some approximate number, that's not valid. So the Ramban gets you out of Hazoma through technicalities. But the answer that really interests us is the third answer to the Ramban. The Ramban says, no, that maybe the reason why Hazoma doesn't apply here is because this would be like a Hazama l'chatzoin. When you give Hazama, so you have to give the real thing. You have to give the whole complete. You have to give 100% Hazama. You can't give a half-baked Hazama. So over here, when the Edom came and they said, this guy's a cholol, so there are a lot of repercussions of being a cholol. You can't open the Beis HaMikdash, you can't get first Aliyah, you can't duchen, and also you're going to lose all the truma from here on in. So now we're going to turn around and say, well, we can't make the Edom into Chalolim because Lov Lov Zara, Holo Shtikol Torah, and Abayz and Machas. So let's at least give them 20%. But at least give them, make them pay the bill of losing Truma. So the Ramban says that would be a violation of Ba'inin Kasha Zaman Valeka. You have to have Hazol Bekula. You can't have a half-baked Hazam. You have to have a Hazol Hazama, which is complete. It's all or nothing. So since we can't give you a real Hazama, so we throw our hands up and say, we can't give a full Hazama, so that's tantamount to saying we can't do Hazama altogether, we can't do Hazama altogether, then the least we can do is give you Malkus. So to give you a half-baked Hazama, that's not acceptable. So the Ramban asks at himself, really? You can't give a half-baked Hazama? The Gemara says, Beferish, that if two Edom come and say that, let's say you have an Eshazish, they're made against an Eshazish, that she was Mazana, so, and then they're proven to be Edom Zomin, so Lechora, two things should happen to them. They should be Chayav Misa, because they were made that an Eshazish Zinsa, and they should be Chayav Mamun, because they try to make a Luzak Ksuba. So the Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin in the first parak that Meharagim v'Edom Mishalmim, that they are Chayav Misa's Bezin, but they don't pay for the Ksuba. Why don't they pay for the Ksuba? Because of Kim Lebed Raminei. So ask the Ramban, why? How can you have such a phenomenon that you give them Hazama vis-a-vis the Misa, and you don't give them Hazama vis-a-vis the Mamun? Isn't that a violation of my klal? You need Hazama Bakula. So the Ramban says, no, that's not a violation of this klal, because that is called Hazama Bakula, because by making them pay the Misas, Yesh B'chol Masayim Ana, that's considered to be as if they're paying the money. If we don't see the money, because we're not looking close enough. If you look at the world through the world of Lamdas, so Nichlon, the Chiyah Misas Beis Din, is a Chiyah Tashlumin as well. So that's a razzle-dazzle Chiddush of the Ramban. So other Bisham disagree with this Ramban, but that's the Ramban's Yesod and Kibbutz Ramin. So the Chora, this chakira that we're having, what is kibla b'drahmine? Is kibla b'drahmine a poiter? Or is kibla b'drahmine yesh b'chalai masayah mana? So maybe one can answer that they're both true. It's not a stira. There are different kinds of kibla b'drahmine. Some work in one way and others work in other ways. So the kibla b'drahmine, when the guy's mamish put to death, so then you can argue that's taka yesh b'chalai masayah mana. That taka makes sense. The guy's mamish being killed, so then it's ki'ilu he paid the money. The lower level kibla b'drahmine, he didn't get punished. Nothing happened. Okay, he walked off scot free. So how can you say yesh b'chalai masayah mana? There was no Messiah. There was nothing happened to him. So that second level of kibla b'drahmine, that's taka poit. That's a different type of halacha. So now, going back to our question, when you have a kibla b'drahmine, does it make sense to be chayav in dinei shemayim or not? With the corollary being, is it shaykh to have the principle of tefisa? So the chayav depends. If you hold like the Ramban's, that version of kibla b'drahmine, that the guy, mamish, was put to death, so yesh b'chalai masayah mana, what do you mean he's chayav, let's say, sedei shemayim? He paid already. He paid with his life. Paying with his life is like paying with his mamon. So yesh b'chalai masayah mana. So in a case of a heavy-duty kibla b'drahmine, when he was mamish put to death, or at least had a gemara bid on him, so it's takha yesh b'chalai masayah mana. So how can you turn around and say, it's chayav, let's say, sedei shemayim? How can you turn around and say this tefisa? It doesn't make any sense. He paid money already. The only time it's nitanei amer that there's a chiyuv v'dei shemayim, which carries with it a din of tefisa according to Rashi, is only it's the lower level type of kibla b'drahmine. So then you can argue it's a poiter. Maybe the poiter is only in beis and shemata. Maybe it's not a poiter in beis and shemala. So maybe that's the beer in the yam shalom, but that's the beer in the ketzais that there's no stira between when the gemara says that Rava refused to receive the item back. Because Rav was choshesh that maybe kibla b'drahmine kicked in, so he asked, "I is chayav teis shemayim, I is tefisa." So the answer is no. There's neither teis shemayim nor tefisa, because those are examples when the misa was really meted out, not literally meted out, but since it was a reidif, it's neither benafshay. That is the status like a nigma din lamisa. So only in those unique cases of nigma din lamisa or real misa, then the chiyuv teis shemayim doesn't apply, then tefisa doesn't apply. But whenever you have other cases, so then we can discuss it. When there are other cases where no misa, no onus really, really actually played out, so then maybe you could argue that there is a chiyuv teis shemayim and tefisa, in fact, would apply. So now going back to the story of the mitzvah, so we're trying to understand why we're able to walk out of Mitzrayim, spazier out, taking the kesef and zav. So we want to know what happened to kibla b'drahmine. So we had a few good answers. We thought that according to most of the Tanoim, there's no kibla b'drahmine by Beis and Shemala, so we thought that was a good answer. Then we thought there are Chayim, HaKadosh, and Chumash is a good answer, that there's no kibla b'drahmine by Goyim. Then we thought the Meiri is a good answer, that there's no kibla b'drahmine by Yischaivas Midas. But the question becomes, according to Rashi and Tosfos, is it a good answer or not? So according to Rashi and Tosfos, it sounds like the mitzvah b'chayav l'tzeis de shemayim, and we're allowed to do tefisa. That's exactly what we did. We were toyface. This is better. They gave it to us. They lent it to us, and then we worked out with it. So ein l'cha tefisa goldem mizeh. So it sounds like we're home free. We're allowed to take the stuff based on tefisa. But not so simple, because according to this marshal, according to this shtickles, turn the ktzais, it wouldn't work. The Egyptians would have the better taina. Because according to this marshal, according to this ktzais, b'med v'ram amurim that there's a chiv atzeis de shemayim, and b'med v'ram amurim there's a din of tfisa, that's only when it wasn't nasa oinish achomer. But if it was nasa, they got the oinish achomer. Dona noichi, they got the asabachas, they got worse than the oinish achomer. So that type of kimu v'ramine was the yesh b'chol masayah mona. The yesh b'chol masayah mona now prevents the din of shemayim from being chal. Whenever the din shemayim is not chal, then obviously tefisa is not going to carry over either. So this last mahalach that we're saying that it's based on Rashi and Tosfos on din shemayim and tefisa has to be tailor-made a little bit. We're not so sure that's right. If the marshal and the tefisa are right, so then that last mahalach isn't going to work. So we can still hold on to the money based on all the other reasons. So obviously the Rabban Shlom Paskin, like one of the three pshatim are correct that we said. The fourth pshat is up for grabs. So I'll call upon him, even though the context was a little bit of a strange shaila, but hopefully we will mevar a little bit some of the asaydis in terms of the sugya of kibla b'drahmine. Okay.
Remember, it's by
Dun did an option. Okay. Could be. Okay.
Thank you, Seth.
That's good.